meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, and it's a beautiful Friday.
It's nice.
Very nice. In Chicago, beautiful city of Chicago. I'm going to miss when everything gets back to normal, because I like taking my little ride in the evening, and it's you can move around, maneuver through the city, navigate through the city without any...
It's funny how these things, you know, are bad, but then you kind of wish for them, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like the situation is bad, but you kind of long for when it's nice.
Better believe it. But I tell you, we got good news about the opening of the churches. At least it seems we're moving in that direction, thanks to the governor, who seemed to change course rather quickly. But we'll talk about that later. And let's begin with our prayer. It's just, I'm absolutely so happy that we started doing this, beginning with a prayer, because it really does bring, it's like the balm of Gilead, a soothing ointment to the soul. So let us begin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. O Mary, you shine continuously on our journey as a sign of salvation and hope. We entrust ourselves to you, health of the sick, who at the foot of the cross were united with Jesus, suffering and persevered in your faith, protectress of the people. You know our needs. We know that you will provide, so that as at Cana in Galilee, joy and celebration may return to this after this time of trial. Help us, Mother of Divine Love, to conform ourselves to the will of the Father and to do what Jesus tells us. For he took upon himself our suffering and burdened himself with our sorrows to bring us through the cross to the joy of the resurrection. We fly to your protection. O Holy Mother of God, do not despise our petitions, but in our necessities, deliver us always from every danger, O glorious, ever-blessed Virgin Mary. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
And have mercy on us as well. Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the Family,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Father, all-powerful, have mercy on us. Jesus, eternal Son of the Father, Redeemer of the world, save us. Spirit of the Father and the Son, boundless life of both, sanctify us. Holy Trinity, hear us. Holy Spirit, who proceedest from the Father and the Son, enter our hearts. Holy Spirit, who art equal to the Father and the Son, enter our hearts. Promise of God the Father, have mercy on us. Ray of heavenly light,
have mercy on us.
Author of all good,
have mercy on us.
Source of heavenly water,
have mercy on us.
Consuming fire,
have mercy on us.
Ardent charity,
have mercy on us.
Spiritual unction,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of love and truth,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of wisdom and understanding,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of counsel and fortitude,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of knowledge and piety,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of the fear of the Lord,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of grace and prayer,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of peace and meekness,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of modesty and innocence,
have mercy on us.
Holy Spirit, the Comforter,
have mercy on us.
Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier,
have mercy on us.
Holy Spirit, who governs the Church,
have mercy on us.
Gift of God the Most High,
have mercy on us.
Spirit, who fills the universe,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of the adoption of the children of God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Spirit, inspire us with the horror of sin. Holy Spirit, come and renew the face of the earth. Holy Spirit, shed thy light in our souls. Holy Spirit, engrave thy law in our hearts. Holy Spirit, inflame us with the flame of thy love. Holy Spirit, open to us the treasures of thy graces. Holy Spirit, teach us to pray well. Holy Spirit, enlighten us with thy heavenly inspirations. Holy Spirit, lead us in the way of salvation. Holy Spirit, grant us the only necessary knowledge. Holy Spirit, inspire in us the practice of good. Holy Spirit, grant us the merits of all virtues. Holy Spirit, make us persevere in justice. Holy Spirit, be thou our everlasting reward. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, send us thy Holy Spirit Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, pour down into our souls the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, grant us the spirit of wisdom and piety. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Let us pray. Grant, O merciful Father, that thy divine Spirit may enlighten, inflame, and purify us, that he may penetrate us with his heavenly dew, and make us fruitful in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who lives and reigns with thee in the unity of the same Spirit, liveth and reigneth forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, everybody, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and the good news is we are, Governor Pritzker said that, announced last night, I think around 8 o'clock, perhaps, I think it was way into the evening, that churches that will be able to open. Now, that with that, as you know, we're in the Archdiocese, we're in phase 1A, which means the churches, for instance here, since Monday, we've been open from 1 o'clock to 9 o'clock. During the weekend, we'll be open, 5 o'clock to 9.
On Saturday, right?
On Saturday, and then Sunday, 2 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And that's just for private prayer. And then, of course, the churches, we can have Mass for funerals and weddings, and we can have baptisms with no more than 10 people. But as of last night, the governor announced that churches can reopen. The cardinal actually sent a Cardinal Cupich issued a letter saying that we will not go into phase two yet. That means we're not, this weekend the churches will not be open for the public Mass. He's going to meet with the bishops, the bishops of the Chicago province,
mm-hmm.
and review the document that the governor has issued. And then he says as soon as in the earlier part of the week, we'll communicate with all of us in the Archdiocese as to when we will move into phase two, which would be reopening the church for the public celebration of the Mass. That means Sunday Masses and weekday Masses. Again, what does that mean? The governor, I believe he said, if I remember this right, that churches can open for no more than 100 people. Well, that's great if we can have 100 people. If you've got a small church, you know, then you've got to have 25% capacity. So some, mm-hmm. if a church, let's say a church only, well, you can't, no, I'm sorry, I think I misspoke, that you have to, it's 25% capacity up to 100 people.
Right.
So if you've got a church that can accommodate 100 people and that's 25% your capacity, that ensures for social distancing, then you can have as much as 100 people, but no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I understand.
Well, I mean, even 50. At one time I heard that, okay, depending on the different stages, the next stage would be 50 people. I mean, I really even believe 50 people at least, you're saying more than 10, because I mean...
Oh, sure.
You know, we've been pretty good now. I mean, Angelica tells me during the time that we are open, people are understanding, but... You know, it's like, it just feels so odd to tell somebody, you know, you have 20 minutes to be in front
sure.
of the Blessed Sacrament. But people haven't been waiting, which is, I guess, a good thing.
It's a good thing, yeah.
Because, you know, we stayed even below the 10 sometimes. So
I think there's still caution on the part of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want, you know, everybody's reacting to this pandemic in different ways. And
yeah.
again, it depends on who you listen to and all that. And some people are really... locked in. I mean, they're not leaving their homes for anything, but the gradual this phase one has worked out really nice for us, as you said, and you and your Angelica, your wife, and others. There's a team of people that are, you know, they're greeting and they're cleaning.
And this is the beauty, and I really have to say, even in our planning of this, I was thinking this is such a hard thing to do.
Not,
and let's be honest, I was a little negative about it. But I mean, it's beautiful to see. And even the way we do it, like there's a greeter and then we sanitize the hands and then you have somebody sit people down. It works so well.
Sure.
I mean, it really does. And people are really, you know, people that come in know they have a mask. People that come in know to separate. You know, the rare occasion you have somebody that's not going to go with it, and you just have to, you know, nicely say, hey, look, you have to do this.
Yeah, I think, you know, what helps is that everywhere you go, you got to do the same thing. So people have become accustomed to the protocol, right? You go to CVS, you go to the Jewels, you got to wear a mask. I'm assuming you have to wear a mask in Jewels, I think. Yeah.
But see, and I look at this too, because I mean, even me, I'm getting used to it now, but it's so hard to be in a mask all the time. But I mean, I think of when you go to CVS or Jewel.
Nick is pointing himself.
Yeah, Nick is,
I haven't seen Nick without a mask. I forgot what you look like.
Exactly. So. And I could see poor Nick, he's getting red from having it on.
Yeah.
And I understand that. But I mean, there's just, again, trying to deal with it and getting used to it. I think that might be the new normal.
So, well, you know, it's interesting you say that. And I'm going to be very careful what I say here. But the WHO... just issued this morning or yesterday, I heard it this morning actually, that they're saying not to wear the mask.
Yeah, I've heard this too.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I'm not going to say yay or nay because it depends on who you listen to, what experts.
Unless you say this, and I'm beginning to be a little bit more understanding to people. I mean, even like Nick, I'm going to say, Nick's had his mask on all the time. And there are people that do this. And I guess in a way, if it works for you, then do it. It's just that, you know, when you try to get every little, it depends. If you're one of those persons that I listen to everything and then you try to absorb as much knowledge and then you think to yourself, okay, you're telling me to do this. I see the reasons to do this until I don't see the reasons to do it anymore. And that's why I think it depends on everybody to really sit. And, you know, I look at it too. If I'm thinking of somebody else by covering myself
exactly,
up.
Right, right.
But then what I don't understand is, I don't know what I'm capable or what I have or do not have. So it's like,
I mean, social distance. Okay,
right.
So we this is something that people are we're getting accustomed to that as well. Mm-hmm. See, you don't want to. Nobody wants to put anybody at risk, and we've gone over this over you know round and round and round. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting from one day to the next to hear what's being
what
said.
Changes,
and today
yes.
The WHO said, you know, you shouldn't be wearing the mask, you know, and it's it could be counterproductive and all that kind of stuff.
I'm
really
curious,
protect.
Too, is that what we're supposed to follow now or no?
Well,
I'm trying to be funny. But.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, you got to use common sense.
Yeah.
We're in a pandemic. There is a virus. Keep social distance. We're doing that. Wear the mask, you know, where you've got to wear the mask. We get common sense.
Yeah.
Common sense. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. I mean, how many times we touch our face? Yeah, it's whatever. But
if anything, it's the first step. I think everybody has learned more than anything now that wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Don't touch your nose.
And better to wash your hands with soap and water because I tell you the chemicals. I react to that. It kind of burns the hands. You know, so you got to stay away.
Because we're doing it so much.
Yeah. So just soap and water. Whatever. But so it makes it easier for us because as people, like I too, you know, in the beginning, I thought, are people going to feel, you know, whatever. Yeah. But the people, alcohol content too. So Nick is just sending me this. At first they said, you know, got to be 97%. Now they're saying that 70%, you know, whatever. So, the point is that wherever you go, so when people come to the church, they kind of know this is expected.
Yeah.
You've got to wear the mask. You come in, there's a hand sanitizer there. Like you said, they can sanitize. We got it in a couple of places throughout the church. You know, we're basically in one part of the church. Mm-hmm. So it's worked out nice. And so people, they come and they pray. Sometimes they can stay longer than 20 minutes unless somebody's waiting. And then usually, from what I understand, mentioned to me yesterday they had to tell somebody, you know, there's other people waiting, could you, and they were okay with that. They didn't want to leave, but they understood. So, but this is going to be, you know, short term because Hopefully. I mean, we'll hear from the cardinal in the first part of the week. But the hope is, I suspect that by, not this weekend, but the following weekend, my hope is that we will be open for Sunday Mass and mm-hmm. for weekday Masses, our evening Masses. I'm hoping it will be back in my hope is it will be back 24/7, that we'll have the church open 24/7. But of course, it means that we've got to have, and we do, we have security, we have people there to make sure that there is social distancing. We've got places marked in a very discreet way, and that we're cleaning. You know, mm-hmm. we're constantly cleaning, sanitizing the church. So it's as long as we've got the people to work with us in that regard, you and your team. Mm-hmm. That's Tony and Angelica and their team. We got a team of people, and others are coming aboard. You know, getting on board with this. So it's doable, and we're doing it. And the hope is that we'll be back in the church. I can't, you know, I can't wait for it. Like, on one hand, I said, you know, I kind of enjoy, I'm going to miss not being able to drive through the city, because we're right in the city, and I like to take I try to do it every day, you know, at some point, just to get out in the early evening, and never could do that before, because I had confessions in the early evening, then I had Mass. It was rare that if anything, I'd have to get out in the afternoon, but because of because we don't have the Mass, I can have my Mass anytime I want. Right. So, like this morning, I've already had the Mass. Sometimes I have the Mass in the evening. Sometimes I have it early in the morning. But I'm going to miss being able to just get in the car and take a ride around 5 o'clock or 5:30 or 4:30 or during what is normally rush hour, and to be able to move through the city, you know, Michigan Avenue, State Street. Usually I try to take Milwaukee to Kinsey to Upper Wacker, down Michigan, mm-hmm. going south to 31st Street, come up State Street.
It's a nice drive.
And I like to see what's going up and mm-hmm. what's happening. And it's been very comfortable. So that'll be a change, you know, when everybody, but at the same time, you know, we want people to come back. Mm-hmm. And I certainly want to resume the public worship of Mass. We're going to probably continue with a live stream. Yeah. We're planning to do that, to continue with that, because there are people who are not going to put themselves at risk, especially those who have are vulnerable. But so we're going to continue with the live stream Masses, and you know, at least on Sunday. I don't know that we'll do that on a weekday. I doubt it. It'll be a lot because you get to have people that are working that as well, and that's a lot of work. But the hope is, I said, we figured we could easily accommodate 120 to 140 people mm-hmm. and still maintain social
distancing.
But I think the maximum amount of people you can have in a church, and again, it depends on the size of the church, mm-hmm. from what I understand, is 100 people in this phase. I think the state calls it phase 3. Maybe we'll be calling it phase 2. I don't know if that's just the archdiocese or if that's the city. Because the parks are not opened yet, right? When do they open?
The city parks are not, but I think suburbs.
What about the lakefront?
The lakefront is still closed.
And when does that reopen?
That depends on our mayor.
Really? Okay. So the Riverwalk.
Whenever she says it's good to do, we will do it.
All right. So we got to be obedient. All right. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back. I have a few things I want to share with you. And, of course, we've got the Feast of Pentecost on Sunday, which brings an end to the Easter season, believe it or not. You know, we've had the entire Easter and most of Lent in lockdown, in the exile. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential.
In light of the president's acknowledgement of our right to pray in our houses of worship as essential, how will the Illinois governor and Chicago's mayor respond to that acknowledgement of the obvious First Amendment rights of the free exercise of religion guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution? Certainly, social distancing and safety protocols need to be in place. Make your feelings known to our local political leaders. Periodically, we'll be discussing the issue of religious liberty and safety in the age of COVID-19 on Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kloska Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So Pentecost is coming up. Well, we're right on the feast. It begins tomorrow, really tomorrow night, on the vigil. People don't realize this, but there's the vigil mass, the liturgies of the liturgy of the vigil, the mass on the vigil of Pentecost, and then a Pentecost Sunday, and the vigil mass tomorrow is just rich with readings. It's kind of like a mini Holy Saturday, because there's a whole series of readings that are read, and from the book of Genesis, I got it right here, from the book of Genesis, from the book of Exodus, from the book of Ezekiel. Actually, you can choose these different ones, but these are all the readings. The prophet Joel, Paul's letter to the Romans. But they're very rich. But the prayers of the, just like with Holy Saturday of the readings and then the prayer, the prayers are really beautiful. This is only on the vigil, so most people don't get an appreciation for the richness of this feast day. But on the vigil of Pentecost, the church in her liturgies that starts tomorrow night calls to mind the example. First of all, in the first prayer, it calls to mind the example of the apostles and disciples who, with the Virgin Mary, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, persevered in prayer, awaiting the Spirit promised by the Lord. And in her prayer, the church petitions Almighty God for the grace to remain a holy people formed as one by the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And she asks for the grace to safeguard the sacrament of God's holiness and unity, which is what? But the Holy Eucharist, which is at the very center of our faith. Because what is the Holy Eucharist? It's a perpetuation, a renewal and perpetuation of the Paschal mystery, the holy sacrifice, Jesus offering his life in atonement for our sins to save us from our slavery to sin and death. We're still sinners. We've yet to die. And so that single redemptive salvific act is perpetuated, renewed, relived, until Jesus comes at the end of time. And so that's the very center. This is Jesus who remains with us in this very unique and this very distinct way. And so in the first prayer of Pentecost, the church makes petition to Almighty God that we need the grace to remain a holy people formed as one by the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and for the grace to safeguard the sacrament of God's holiness and unity, which is the Holy Eucharist, that sacrament. And because all sacrament, really, this is the church says, everything flows into and from the Holy Eucharist. That's really the fount of the divine mercy. Who is the divine mercy but Jesus, the incarnate God, crucified, died, and risen from the dead. The church then recalls how God, who in fire and lightning gave the ancient law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, it's interesting because, we don't think about this, but the Jews celebrated that the feast day, the Feast of Pentecost, is I think I've said this many, many times, but we can't know ourselves. We can't really understand. We have no identity apart from Judaism. So everything that was in the Hebrew scriptures is a preparation, a typology for the messianic moment when the fullness of God's revelation in Jesus Christ. And then, of course, our redemption. Everything leads up to that. And so we're, as we say, we're in the messianic age. We're in the last days in the messianic age. Ever since the suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, and the descent of the Holy Spirit. So on this, but the Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, originally, was the celebration of the giving of the Ten Commandments. So in Judaism, at the time of our Lord, and even to this day, the Jews celebrate Pentecost as well, which comes, 49 days from the Passover. It's also 49 days from our celebration of Easter, the Holy Triduum that culminates in Easter, the Easter season, and then there's the 40 days, and then the 9 days from the Ascension to Pentecost, which is the novena, the prayer, where the Blessed Virgin Mary is in the company of the apostles in these 9 days of prayer. But but it was on this feast day, the Feast of Pentecost, recalling the fire and lightning that gave the ancient law to Moses on Mount Sinai, that the church, that the new covenant was manifested in the fire of the Spirit. And so the church prays that we, the members of his body, always be aflame with the same Spirit poured out on the apostles. You've heard me say many, many times that what began as one nation was destined to Catholicize, to go out to all nations, to envelop, encompass all nations. Jesus said, go now to all the nations. Because remember, always keep in mind that the early church was Jewish. The Messiah comes from the Jews, the Jewish people, the Israelites, the people of the Old Covenant. They were formed by God in such a way that from them the Messiah would come to then go out to all people. And so this new covenant that is universal, Catholic, to go and Catholicize, universal, you know, this universal covenant, go to all the nations, that it was on the Feast of Pentecost that the fire of the Spirit was manifested, or the new covenant was manifested in the fire of the Spirit, just as fire and lightning gave the ancient law to Moses on Mount Sinai, which really binds the people together in the law. And we're bound together in the Spirit, which doesn't dispense with the law, but fulfills the law of God. Those laws, Jesus, as he opens the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't think I've come to take the law away, nothing of the law, speaking of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, but to fulfill, to bring to completion, and to lead you, to take you even beyond. So, to take us beyond the law, which is engraved in our hearts, those commandments, they're in all of us. So we really, if we're going to be truly honest, we can distinguish between right and wrong. But Jesus says, and so we have the capacity to keep the commandments of God, but the Lord is going to take us even beyond the law into a life of very high virtue, which is really the working of the Spirit in us so that we attain to great sanctity. It's really the goal here is that Jesus reproduces life in us so that it's the Lord living in us and through us. And so we live as he lives. We see as he sees. We feel as he feels. We do as he does. That's the goal of our life as Christians. And then the church recalls how God throughout history restored, this is a very beautiful prayer, but how God throughout history restores what has fallen and preserves what he restores. It's a very beautiful concept, you know, but she asks that God, the church asks that God send the Spirit that we increase and be renewed by the sanctification of his name. And so the church is asking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that walking in oneness of faith, we may attain in our flesh the incorruptible glory of the resurrection. We look forward in confident hope to the fullness of life. And see, in that prayer, I'm really extrapolating from the prayer, so I'm not really reading it as it's prayed, but this is the concept that is prayed on the vigil, that we increase and that we're renewed by the sanctification of His name, not our name, but His name. It's Jesus. Again, the goal, as St. Paul says, not I who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me. I live that His name be sanctified. That's one of the petitions of the Our Father, right? Holy be thy name, or that your name be always sanctified in me, that I do nothing to desecrate or to diminish or to distort or pervert the name of God. That name is holy. So let us then live so as to give glory to God, to sanctify the very name of God, and that we increase and are renewed, because we're always in need of renewal. We always in need of increase. And, of course, that we walk in oneness of faith, because this was the great prayer of Jesus the night before he died, right? As he really, was it last, a few weeks ago, we had the reading, and I think I mentioned on the radio, I think I counted in that one pericope, that one passage, how many times Jesus refers to the Father. And what was that, 30-something times in the one passage, I think in the whole of the farewell discourse, including the high priestly prayer, it may be well over 35. I've got this number 35 in my head, which isn't a very short period, a little part of the Bible, but 35 times he refers to the Father, but equally so to the Spirit, And so, and he prayed repeatedly over and over. He repeats this, you know, that you be one, Father, that they be one. And he cautions the apostles, you know, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be hated, but you got to preserve the unity. You've got to, you know, be docile to the inner working of God's Spirit, because my Father and I are one, and we will send the Spirit that we dwell in you, that we all become one. And so this is sad to say, and that's why, you know, when you listen to these prayers, that help us to remain holy, help us to sanctify your name, help us to be one of faith. But the reality is that when we separate from the apostolic tradition, then we open ourselves to all kinds of division. And so there's, you know, if you look at denominational Christianity, you're talking about, I've read it over and over and over, over 30,000 denominations of Christianity. That's where there isn't this oneness. What are the marks of the church? But the church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Jesus founded not many churches. He founded one church. This church is his body, a holy church. Our holiness is in the... And certainly we're being sanctified. So we pray that, you know, that we be renewed, that we increase in faith, we be sanctified. But the Holy Church is in that perfection of holiness is in God, the Trinity, in the saints, in the Blessed Virgin Mary. But we're certainly in the in that walk, in that the pilgrimage, in the battle. And so that's why the necessity of the prayer, this constant praying, but that we be one. There's no justification for dividing the body of Christ. It's at the root of that is pride. One can say, well, yes, it's the sin and scandal and all that, but it's Jesus said you're always going to have scandal. You're not going to avoid it. Woe to those who cause a scandal. Better that a millstone be put around their neck than be thrown in the sea and drowned. Do not bring scandal to these little ones, not just to the children, but to the innocent, to the saints. So it's, he prayed for that oneness, and yet we are deeply, deeply divided. And even within the church, which is still one holy Catholic apostolic. And by the way, so, you know, Christians, I've said this many times, but who are denominational Christians are Christians. They're baptized in the Father, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't rebaptize them if they come into the Roman Catholic Church. It's just they have to be confirmed in the faith, and they come to the fullness of the faith into the Mother Church, right? So, but the scandal today is that there is so much division, and there's always going to be this fight against the spirits of the world that try to divide. Certainly, Satan, it's the work of the devil to diminish, divide, in order to destroy. As Scripture says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So, and again, before we take this break, we attain in our flesh the incorruptible glory of the resurrection. So we're on the way. We're on the way. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. And I want to continue with this because I think this is really quite interesting, quite beautiful, I think. And this is from the vigil of Pentecost. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, or Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank you. During this COVID-19 virus pandemic, offering you prayer and inspiration through your faith.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with us at 3 p.m. Central Time. Streamed live from St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Go to the St. Stanislaus Kostka Church Facebook page and pray with us daily at 3 p.m.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
As we sit home or are doing the necessary and often courageous jobs for your family and others, Father Anthony invites you to be with us Sundays, where you will see the English, Spanish, and Polish Masses on the St. Stanislaus Kostka Facebook homepage. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church will keep you updated via flocknote.com or by texting the word Kostka, spelled K-O-S-T-K-A, to 845-76, or via the St. Stanislaus Kostka homepage on Facebook, plus the parish website, ststanschurch.org. Keep listening for more information on Winds of Change, Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. As always, we ask you to lift your voice to God, our rock and our shelter.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I'm speaking here about the vigil of Pentecost and the beautiful prayers and the petitions of the church to Almighty God. And so finally, the church asked God to fulfill his gracious promise that by the coming of the Holy Spirit, we may become witnesses before the world to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives forever and ever. We've got to give witness, and it should be evident to others that we are followers, not just followers of Jesus Christ, but that the Lord lives in us and that he's living through us. If we get a chance, I'm sitting here looking at this. The German bishop quits synodal form endorsing polyvalent sexuality. Are you familiar with that? Polyvalent?
No. Is that all?
Yeah, there's this crazy synod that's going on in Germany, and there I'm not going to go into all the details because I don't have all the details, mm-hmm. but I know it's really controversial, and they've got equal number of lay people and bishops, and there's like an equal power that they're sharing, or power, I'm using the word power, but it's a synod, dialogue, communication, and but what they're advocating is that the ordination of women to the priesthood, to the diaconate, blessing homosexual relationships, you know, unions and all that kind of stuff. And so this bishop has quit the synodal form, which endorses polyvalent sexuality. I guess he was on that committee or whatever. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is, because he said they're advocating for, you know, that all sexuality is, you know, there's a wide variety of ways or whatever, you know. And he says, I don't want to deviate so much from Pentecost, but I'm just saying this is an example of where there's, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I said that in some ways who do we go to? To whom do we go? So many feel orphaned because they don't feel that there's that the prelates, the bishops, are defending that we've got the catechism, thank God, we've got scripture, we've got sacred tradition, but we need, especially in this time of disorientation and disorder and diabolical disorder, well, this diabolical disorientation, we need this defense of the faith, a defense of the truth, because we're really up against a culture, and it seems that many, for the sake of dialogue, are so much so steeped in the dialogue that in so many sectors of the church, that what's lost is the church's mission to give witness to a truth that is for all people, for all time. And so as he says, this bishop, you know, he says, I'm not going to be part of this. He says, this is I shouldn't have picked this up because I don't have it marked here, but anyway the point is it was not the alleged clinging to tradition, you know, don't be chided for that, he says, or don't chide me for that, but he says it's not this clinging to tradition that has alienated people from the church, but because we, the church, are too concerned with ourselves and do not give answers to the existential questions of humankind. And I think he's right on. He stressed that it's precisely in questions of morality and identity that the church really has something to say. And he says that there's this widening gap between the church's teaching and the life of the faith, which also tells us that the challenging understanding of sexuality is a gift from God has, at least in Germany in recent years, been criminally negligated, or neglected, I'm sorry, this must change, and urgently so. Anyway, I probably shouldn't have picked that up, but it's what we see happening, you know? Pearson, we need, you know, we want to give witness to truth.
It's not all, the example is so important.
Yeah, it's not all up for grab, and just we're thrown into this, as I said this the other week or so ago, that we're thrown into the cesspool of the world's superficiality and mm-hmm. subjectivity. No, there's a truth. There's a truth that needs to be adhered to. We have an obligation to adhere to the truth. As Pope John Paul II said, I say this so many times, when people protested the church's teachings on sexuality and marriage and all that, and he says, you're asking me to do what I haven't the authority to do. I don't have the authority to change these things. And all of a sudden, people seem to think that we can just kind of go with the flow and go with the times. You know, we can't. We have to be prophetic in that sense.
I just don't understand why people are so forced to this change. It doesn't
because you got to follow the money. You got to follow what do they call these these different groups that are, they have an agenda. Mm-hmm. They purposely, consciously want to. It's like, let me just put it in this way. I don't know if you can tell. I'm really tired today. We want to rewrite the laws of God. Right. We're going to recreate God. We're created in the image and likeness of God. We want to recreate God in our image and likeness.
I think that's the best way. I was answering my own question. It's like we try to do this in our image, and it's not the way it should be. We can't change it because people want this or that.
Part of this radical individualism, relativism, subjectivism, all this, the isms, right? Hedonism. You know, don't bind me to the law because you know I want to do my thing. You know, you do your thing, I do my thing. Don't, no judgment, please here. But no, there's a truth that that preserves proper order in a disordered world, right. And also a truth that attends to the destiny of the soul. You know, which is we're destined for God, but we have to cooperate and respond to God's inbreaking in history. Jesus laid out the blueprint. You know, this is the Feast of Pentecost, the giving of the law, and also the descent, the giving, the fire of the Spirit that initiates the life of the church. And so Pentecost is the birthday. It's a feast day. This feast day is the birthday of the church and brings to completion the Easter season. On the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave birth to the mystical body of Christ, the family of God, and in that body and in that family, there is a great multitude which no one can count from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They're in heaven and on earth. And I'm taking that actually from the book of Revelation. But those in heaven have survived the trials and tribulations of this world. They intercede on behalf of us all. And this is where we've got to restore to the life of the church in this era of time the vertical. Everything is so horizontal, you know, who we are in relation one to another, but we've got to understand that we're first and foremost, we have to live in relation to God. That's the vertical. And so you've got on that vertical, you know, up in the heaven is these people who have survived the time of persecution, the time of trial and tribulation. And how? But they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They participated in the sacrament of God's holiness and unity, which is the Holy Eucharist. That's why the church in the first prayer prays for the grace to safeguard the sacrament of God's holiness and unity. That's Jesus who comes to us, who remains with us, and in a sense condescends under the hidden guise of bread and wine in order that we not collapse as we go on our way, but that we cleave to Him, and in cleaving to Him, we cleave to the truth. We don't go the way of the world. We're going to be at enmity with the world, as Jesus said, in so many ways in the gospel. So St. Paul writes, and you'll hear this on Sunday, that those led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. We do not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we've received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with Him so that we may be also glorified with Him. And so in the Holy Mass, we renew our yes to the Lord to suffer with Him. That's what St. Paul says. What does that mean, to suffer with Jesus? It means to fulfill the will of the Father, emulating Jesus who offered His life in a love that was sacrificial. See, that's what they're working against. They're working against sacrificial love. Yeah. Let me do my thing. Let me do what I want. You know, I don't want to make the sacrifice. I don't want to adhere to a law that binds me or doesn't allow me the freedom to do whatever I want, which adds to the disorder in the world. No, to adhere to God's law is to work to preserve order and to be that leaven that brings sanctification to people, to the human race. It's about our salvation. So it means we keep the commandments, we fulfill our responsibility as Christians. We're not just free to do whatever we want. So in this time, in these days of anxiety, we're inundated with entirely too much information, too much noise. We should do a good thing. We would do well really to quiet ourselves, open ourselves to the Holy Spirit who comes to us in a whisper, but to purge us, as St. Paul says, of immorality, of idolatry, of hatred, of rivalry, of jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, envy, and the like. There's a whole litany of things that St. Paul says. I mean, even in that, he says, fornication and, you know, all this stuff. The stuff, I said, you know, but these things that, you know, people want so bad, and we're going to rewrite the law in order to give us the, you know, to appease our conscience, which is, again, a testimony to the fact that the law is written into our hearts, so otherwise we wouldn't be throwing our tantrums to try to change it, to bring the church down, to accommodate the church to the ways of the world. We don't want to live in the spirit of the world. We want to live under the dominion of Christ Jesus in the Spirit of God. Because in that spirit, what happens within us is that we're transformed, and our love is sacrificial. It's a spirit that brings joy and brings peace and brings patience and brings kindness and gentleness and self-control, fortitude, strength, the fear of the Lord, wisdom and knowledge and understanding, the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But, and especially today, the intensity of the struggle against the spirit of the world brings us to say with St. Paul, we know that all creation is groaning and in labor pains, and not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we await the redemption of our bodies. So there is this struggle, right? This struggle. Even though because we're in a spiritual battle. And even with regard to prayer, we take solace in the words of St. Paul, who reminds us the Spirit, too, comes to the aid of our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with us with an inexpressible groaning, interceding for the holy ones according to God's will. You know, as I was reflecting on that, And those, to me, certainly these are words of consolation and solace, that we are in the struggle. Be very honest about that. It is a struggle. We're up against the world, but we don't cave. We don't compromise. We don't water it down. We don't dumb it down, because we do a disservice to ourselves and to others as well. And we put our souls in jeopardy, to be quite honest. But even as far as prayer, you know, that we don't know how to pray as we ought, and that made me understand that there's no wonder that the rosary is a favored prayer of Catholics, because like the apostles with the rosary, they didn't have the rosary. I think I mentioned this the other day. Mm-hmm. But like the apostles, we enter the cenacle in the company of the Holy Mother of God. And as she prayed with them and for them, she prays with us and she prays for us. But we started to talk about that yesterday, maybe on Tuesday. But this is the beauty and the prayers of the church, apart from the Holy Mass, which is really the sacrifice and our renewing our fiat, our yes. But it's all the litanies. We were talking about the litanies. Mm-hmm. The Our Father, Jesus gave us the rosary. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And so these prayers, this is the working of the Spirit to help us in prayer, but also it's just be still and know that I am God. You know, be still and know that I am God. The Spirit moves within us. So it's ultimately, it should bring us to surrender in trust, to renew daily our consecration, the consecration of our life to the Lord. Lord, make me holy. Sanctify me, reproduce your life in me, because truly, if you want to know yourself or grow into your true self, it's to find you. Jesus says, lose yourself, you'll find yourself. You lose yourself, you find me, you find yourself. Die to yourself, you'll live, I'm life. You find me, you have life. Okay, everybody, happy birthday. Happy birthday to the church as we prepare for the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Changed.
each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.